Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
The beauty of baseball is you can sit next to your neighbor and have a conversation, or you can just completely ignore them.
Baseball spoken here. It's time for the second game of our radio doubleheader.
That is a reviewable play, but the Yankees choose not to review it.
A swing and a drive to deep right, away back, off the pole, Francisco Lindor.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch, a deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
It's 2-2 in the bottom of the sixth, and I just can't get my eyes off that man with the tall head.
It's quite a game, but man, that guy is ugly. You know that guy hasn't blinked this entire game? Just a dead-eyed idiot out on a Thursday afternoon.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
We're going to be awesome for you right now.
On 1080.
Hey, one for one. That's batting 1,000, dude.
That's baseball, baby.
Help us, please. Somebody help us.
The Fan.
Yeah.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, there is the Les Schwab Tires podcast. You can get that at 1080thefan.com or wherever you get your podcasts, including radio.com. Speaking of podcasts, Beers on Us drops tomorrow as we discuss stress drinking. We drink some Russian River. And finish off the box.
Final beer of the box.
Finish off the box. I enjoyed it. I thought we had a good one today.
It was
so
a good one,
make sure you download that. I'll hit around 4 o'clock tomorrow, wherever you get your podcasts, including radio.com and at 1080thefan.com. Timbers lose.
Yeah.
Late goals.
Stupid Colorado.
Stupid
Timbers.
COVID Rado. I just made that up right now.
Stupid like Giovanni's that. Defense like in the late it was all right. Part of the game.
That played.
Covarado.
Yeah.
Covarado.
Yeah, that played.
All right. Cool.
I like
cool,
it.
Cool, baby. Yeah. All right. We were talking about World Series and how we did enjoy this World Series very much. But I guess we've got to get into, since we do have John Sercanic in the house, I do want to, I guess we have to revisit the most polarizing move in baseball history since a trash can in Blake Snell being removed after 5 1/3 innings. To then eventually lose game six.
You all know how I feel.
Dominant innings.
Yes. You all know how I feel. I was railing against him.
Cy Young style.
Patrick was a little bit more, I don't want to say fence sitting, but you were a little bit more on the side of Kevin Cash, I suppose.
Yeah, a little bit
more.
I mean,
it was the wrong decision.
Yeah, and I'll be quick on this because I want to get John in here on his opinion. But I'll be quick, John, just to bring you up to speed on how I feel. The numbers for Snell coming around a third time are pretty egregious.
Yes.
They're pretty bad.
Agree.
And you're looking at Mookie Betts, then the World Series MVP, and then COVID Turner, who are all three playing phenomenally. That is why I understand why he was taken out of the game. Also, Tampa couldn't do anything offensively. And that one run from a Rosarena, who's bailed him out countless times.
Who else?
I think Cash was worried that that was going to be the only run of the game. And if that Snell gave up anything to any one of these guys, it was going to be over. That being said, he made the wrong choice. He made the wrong choice in pulling Snell. And I think the worst part was actually worse than pulling Snell was putting in Nick Anderson. I would have liked to see Castillo in that spot or
Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, anybody but Anderson in that moment.
So that's why giving up a run every game in the World Series.
Right. So I'm not banging on Cash too hard. Did he make a mistake? Yes. Was it a bad move? Yes. Would I left him in? Yes. But I'm not ready to just destroy him.
I destroyed him because not only was the move stupid, but his press conference answers pissed me off royally because he just was like, yeah, if you disagree, I understand. But I think I made the right decision. And it's like, dude, you can be real. So that was the conversation from, was that a week ago, 2 weeks ago? I don't even know.
We did it last week.
So, John, how do you feel?
Well, I see both of your, I also understand why he did it. And there is a place in the game for analytics. Mm-hmm. You can't deny that, right? The numbers are what they are. But I also, and I guess I tend to trend old school. I tend to trend, you know, old time, trust your eyes, trust your gut. Style of baseball as opposed to I appreciate analytics for what they are. I don't think they should be the end all be all for what you're doing. And at some point you got to dance with who brung you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you gotta dance with who got you there.
Yeah, you gotta ride the horse you came in on.
And he is your ace, and you can't tell me that you're sitting there watching him do that. And this isn't just a normal game. This isn't just normal Wednesday night. This isn't just the third time through the lineup, and this is what the numbers say.
I mean, this isn't even game two of the LDS.
He was flat out throwing smoke, and at some point, you got to ride that. You got to stay with that.
Your gut has to take over.
I get, right? I mean, it's irrelevant that it's the World Series and it's this moment and it's all this. A guy throwing like that, you got to ride him. I mean, it's not like he gave up a home run.
No.
It's not like the bases were loaded.
No.
He gave up a base hit.
To the nine hitter.
Right?
With one out.
And I know who's coming around. I get it. But
all three of those top order guys
struck out twice.
Yes, and you can't tell me. And in fact, they said as much. And I forget which two players it was. I saw an interview. I think it was Bellinger and Mookie Betts. I saw an interview where they asked the Dodgers. He said, "What did you guys think when Cash came and took out Snell?" And they said, "Nobody said anything, but we all knew. We all knew that was a break for us." You know, they couldn't touch him. They weren't going to touch him again.
I guess Mookie standing in the on-deck circle as Snell gets pulled just turns and looks to Cash and smiles.
Yes, and they just know.
Dave Roberts, sorry.
I just think it's a bad move. You can't argue it. And it's one of those, I get analytics, but not right there. Right there, you have to be able to say, no, I'm going to stick with my guy. And I'm all for the drama, right? I'd probably walk out there and talk to Snell.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say something cool like, you know, you got this.
Give him the Jake Taylor.
Right?
Strike this mother.
Exactly. I got one thing to say to you, Vaughn. Right? I would do that.
And say, I threw the notebook out.
Yes.
It's your game.
Yes. Yeah. Do something. Yeah. How sweet is that?
Yeah.
Do something like that. Smack him on the back and go.
I guess that was Roger Dorn.
And tell me how fired up that guy would be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How fired up is Snell when you think your guy's coming out to get you and he doesn't. He says, hey, big boy. You got this. You'll strike this guy out. That would be awesome. And he didn't do it, and it backfired.
One thing I thought was interesting, Mike asked me this question. I think this is a great question. He asked me this last week, and I don't think anybody really jumped on this. So bravo for you, Mike, for being a great journalist. Mike asked me.
Bravo, Mike.
Thanks.
Mike asks me, do the Dodgers win that game no matter what? And my answer was yes.
Really?
Yep. Because even if Snell stays in through the seventh, Betts goes deep in the eighth. And that's a 1-1 game.
I don't know.
But the momentum shift was huge.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think it's the eighth inning and Snell just rolled the lineup and they bring in whoever they bring in and the Dodgers are feeling it?
Yeah, they bring in Nick Anderson and Betts goes deep off him.
See, I think it's a different feeling in the Dodger dugout. If Snell dominates you for seven, and then you go to the eighth and you bring in one of these guys that throws 100, I think the Dodgers are still down.
But my thing is,
I think they're like, we're getting dominated tonight and we have six outs left. I think when you go
get... The pressure skyrockets.
Absolutely. And when you go pull Snell in the sixth, and like you said, they knew right then, not only are we catching a break here, we got three and a half innings left to get this done.
And I just think inevitably Tampa wasn't going to score another run. And I think the Dodgers were inevitably going to get one.
The second they took Snell out, they were never going to score again because Kevin Cash took their confidence away. That right there.
I agree. But what happens if you get to the seventh inning and Snell gives up a home run and you're tied? Doesn't that momentum shift again?
Absolutely.
Because now you know Snell's coming out.
But we don't know that.
Of course.
It didn't happen. And fair. I'm a believer, and I think the Dodgers were a better team. I don't think anybody would argue that.
Much better.
I think the Dodgers were a better team.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're an underdog and you're playing against the better team, you need one or two special things to go your way.
And you had one going your way.
Well, and that's my point, is I think you had one with the Rosarena, who was probably the best player in the series.
Well, Corey Seager was pretty amazing.
I'll give you that. MVP. But a Rosarena was right there. And you had another one going with Snell that night, that moment. And I don't think you mess with that.
Yeah.
And if Snell gives it up in the seventh or the eighth, and
you rode your horse.
And that's what you say. You walk up to the mic at the end of the game and you say, pitching like that, I would go with him 100 times.
Well, this is how I said it last week. The reason you know it's the wrong decision is because the second Kevin Cash stepped out of the dugout, everybody and their mom and grandma all went, what on earth is he doing?
The Dodgers fans cheered as Blake Snell walked off the field.
Right.
If Kevin Cash leaves Blake Snell in and Blake Snell still gives up a run in the inning, are people criticizing Cash's decision? No, because he left his ace in, who was pitching great. Right. He gave up a run. He blew the lead. But guess what? He left his ace in there.
Yep.
That's how you know it was the wrong decision.
Sure.
Because if it was a borderline decision, you'd be criticized for both. But he wouldn't have been. And that's how you know he made the wrong choice.
Sure. I'll buy that.
All right. Let's talk a little Mariners. We'll swing back around and kind of reassess the season and talk about the future, as the door is wide open, my friends. We'll do all that next. That's Mike Lynch, Joe Fish behind the glass, Big John in the house. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
You're just trying to slip it in there. And they're going to do him first.
It's 9:18 here. This is the Hot Corner. We do this bad boy every single Wednesday night. On 8 to 10 now due to the coach's show.
Come on.
I know.
Don't need that.
I know.
Where's the Cougar coach's
show? Right, right. That's what I'm talking about.
Where's Rolovich? We need Rolovich in here doing the Cougar show.
You saw he named a starting quarterback.
Yeah, we're going baby Mariota.
Yeah, we're going to baby Mariota. The kid he stole from Hawaii.
Yes.
Said he was the perfect quarterback for his run and shoot pistol.
Same high school.
Same high school.
Mariota and the who else went there? That high school has produced a couple of big names. I can't think of them.
Didn't Tua go there?
Tua went there.
Tua went there.
And Gesser.
Oh, and Gesser, my boy?
Yeah.
Well, Gesser actually, I probably shouldn't have called Gesser my boy.
Tua and Mariota. And now this kid. And he's going to be a true freshman starting for the Cougs.
He's coming
for the Beavers.
He's going to bring a Heisman to the Palouse. I'm totally in on that. How Drew Bledsoe never won a Heisman, though, is beyond my imagination.
Right? I wonder if he would have invited me to the ceremony.
You think so?
No. Listen,
weren't you one of his O-linemen? He invites everyone on the O-line except for you.
Well,
weren't you one of his hosses?
Well, I was on the team, and I played offensive line. Was I one of Drew Bledsoe's? No. There were a lot of people in Pullman on those teams that helped Drew Bledsoe to get where he was. Yeah. I was not one of them.
Did you ever do anything helpful for Drew Bledsoe?
I think I picked up his helmet once. Like, he was getting ready to go in and he couldn't find it. And I was like, oh, there it is, Drew. True story. When I was a freshman, the year was 1991, and I was a redshirt and I didn't suit up or travel or anything.
Mm-hmm. I was 1 year old.
Great.
What year is this?
1991.
91, baby. I'm six, man. Oh, I'm already two. Watching sorry, Wazoo sorry. Games, man. Right? I'm already in Wazoo Nation.
1991, freshman year, redshirt. So I don't play, don't suit up, don't do anything. Except for they take everybody to the Apple Cup. The Apple Cup's in Seattle.
Oh, cool.
That year. And this is the year the Huskies won their share of the national title. So they had, you know, Lincoln Kennedy and Steve Ettman and Brunel. And
would have gotten smoked by the U.
They were loaded.
But they would have lost badly.
I agree. But so this is the first time that I get to put on the unit. Like, the whole team's going to the Apple Cup. So it's the first time I get to wear the uniform and stand on the sidelines. And I'm jacked, right? Husky Stadium is 80,000 people, you know, it's the whole thing. So
pre-COVID.
Right. And so I've been there the whole year and I haven't, you know, I'm just in the stands with the other redshirt freshmen. And so, like, this is my chance, right? Like, my buddies are watching, my parents are watching. I'm like, how am I going to get on TV? Like, I got to get, it's ABC game. I got to get on TV.
Keith Jackson's calling it probably.
I don't know if it was Keith. Might've been Musburger.
Ooh.
I don't remember, but it's a big deal, right? Yeah, Apple Cup on TV. Big deal. And so I hatched this plan and I'm like, I'm just going to stand next to Drew Bledsoe the whole time because they will show him on the sideline.
1,000 times. Yeah.
Right.
He's about to be a number one overall pick.
It's Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
And so I launched this plan and I'm like, okay, every time we're on defense and Drew is over there talking to Coach Price, I'm going to go stand over there and try to get in the picture. So I start to do it. So I'm a little nervous and I go hang out and I'm kind of in, and I'm doing this one, like I'm trying to, like, figure out where the camera is.
Kind of lean into the shot.
And I'm doing this one, trying to make it so I can see the number.
Yeah.
And I even do a few of
these.
What
are you, number 68? Is that your number?
79.
79.
And so I even did a few of these. Like, I turn around and pretend to look in the stands so you can see some camera on the back of the jersey. And about the start of the second quarter, like, Coach Price is like, they notice, like, I'm just there. And at one point, like Coach Price, I think he said something, like, he turned and looked at me, and I was like, he didn't know who I was. I was just some scrappy dude. And so I think he was like, cause like 5 seconds later, the little kid that held the cord, mm-hmm. the headphone cord, cause they weren't cordless in 1991. Right. So there was an actual kid that held the cord so it wouldn't get tangled when Price ran up and down the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
He was like 15. He came over to me. And he's like, yeah, Coach wants you to go over there. So I think I was creeping him out.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
did you get on TV?
I don't know. I don't know if I did or not.
Check the tape.
Yeah. I never
we'll
really
go back and check the
I
tape.
Never really heard. I don't know. I'm assuming I did at some point, but anyway, kind of silly. But
that was just the beginning of the glory
that
days.
That was the beginning of my greatness.
Of the greatness.
Right there. Trying to get on TV at the Apple Cup, standing by Drew Bledsoe.
Because you left in 95.
Did Price
right?
actually know who you were at the end?
At the end, yeah, absolutely. So I was a starting right tackle.
Well, I know. That doesn't mean the head coach knows who you are.
I would hope he knew who I was. What's 79 doing on the field again?
As a quarterback coach, I would hope Price knew the offensive line.
We got to play Sukanik again? Yeah, 95 was my senior
95
season.
95 is your senior season. So the quarterbacks you play, did you just play behind Leaf?
Leaf's first start ever was my last one.
Okay.
So it was also an Apple Cup in Seattle.
So who's the quarterback in between?
That is the million-dollar question, because I didn't – too young for Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Number one pick.
Too old for Leaf.
Number two pick. The guy that I played for, Chad Davis. 1994 Alamo Bowl Offensive MVP, Chad Davis.
All right.
And if you are saying to yourself out there, who's Chad Davis? Exactly. So, yeah.
How was Chad, though? Was Chad decent?
Chad's a good dude.
Okay.
He was. He wasn't a great quarterback.
It's hard to follow. It's hard to follow Drew.
Yeah, he wasn't a great quarterback.
Well, Drew didn't play his senior season. He left his junior year.
No, Drew left after 92.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good year. We went to the Copper Bowl, which isn't around anymore.
So Price probably wasn't necessarily ready to lose Bledsoe.
Yeah, so he was gone. In fact, we had a guy who the next year – we were set to be a pretty good team. The kid that was going to play was a kid named Mike Pattinson. He was from Moscow, Idaho. Mm. Local kid. Really good guy, good quarterback. And it was kind of his turn. He'd been behind Drew for a few years. It was kind of his turn. Everybody loved him. Underrated quarterback. I think he would have been pretty good. Like game three, he breaks his collarbone or dislocates his shoulder or something against Cal, and he's out for the year.
Mm.
And then a series of backups eventually led to Chad Davis, and the rest is sort of history. And then my senior year, towards the end, we weren't having a very good season. We weren't very good, and Chad Davis wasn't playing very well. And the last game of the year, Price was like, all right, this kid's the future. Let's get him a shot. And we went to Seattle and gave him everything they could ask for. Ended up losing. Leaf was born. And 2 years later, took him to the Roses.
Pretty
solid.
Still 3 seconds on that clock.
Right.
How do you think Wazoo does this year? I know Wazoo took over the segment as Mike's silent over there.
Hard to know. I think everybody says.
Should be your job, Mike. It's the Pac-12 North.
Right. I think they're.
I can't reminisce because I didn't go there.
A little bit of behind the eight ball with the COVID weird season and no spring ball and a shortened fall with a new coach and a new system.
New quarterback.
Like Rolovich a lot. I've heard nothing but good things.
I have also heard nothing but good things.
I think he will be a good coach there. I think the Cougs will be fine. This year, I don't know. I think it will be tough to play in this environment, this type of season, without that spring, without that extra thing. And new coach, new true freshman quarterback. I think there'll be some growing pains.
Right.
But hopefully we can get a look at a new defensive coordinator. Hopefully the defense plays hard.
We're going to actually run the football.
We're going to run the football. I like Borgie a lot. I think he might be one of the better running
Borgie
backs
too.
In the Pac-12.
I'd agree with that.
And hopefully this kid from Hawaii can sling it. And I think it'll be fun. Jordan Delora.
Yeah.
Freshman.
True freshman.
So
was going to go to Hawaii. He's a Rolovich guy.
Yeah.
And Rolovich somehow said, you know, ditch the beach for the scenic views of the Palouse
and the cold and the snow.
So hopefully I'm cautiously optimistic. If they don't play well this year, I don't think it's the worst thing.
I don't think so either.
In the world, I just hope to see, I hope to see the good defense play hard and some signs of life on the offense.
I am really excited that because nobody thinks we're going to be good, didn't we get picked to finish last?
Probably.
In the Pac-12
we always
year?
Are.
We always are. Despite winning, you know, 7-8 games every single year for the last, you know, hey-o.
Exactly.
I'm excited because no one expects us to be good. All our games are going to be 7:30 kicks.
Yeah.
Wazoo will not have a
after dark.
Wazoo will not have a 9 a.m. nationally broadcast game. Nope. I can guarantee you that.
Nope. Maybe.
And I'm excited about that, man. I love Cougar football after dark.
I do too. I think Wazoo, it's great.
See, they never did it when I was there. And they probably didn't play night games when you were there.
We played one night game in Pullman, and it was a huge deal. Like, yeah. Everybody was like, oh, my gosh, we're playing at night? Like, what?
Yeah, we got Alex Smith, or Alex Smith, Alex Brink's senior season, the Apple Cup, was a 7:30 kick.
Yeah,
we lost our minds
for
that.
We did it once, and it was a huge deal. Like, people were freaking out.
Because
like,
I'm there pre-network days, obviously, and, we never got late kicks.
Yeah, in my whole time playing there, we had one. And I was junior or senior year, 94, 95.
We always believed it was a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, probably.
We never got late kicks because they didn't want us drinking all day.
Well, that's, which is probably wise.
Well, we didn't drink all day. We took a nap in between.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
We're not savages.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, like, come on. Yeah, man. Drugs weren't legal back then. It's like
the great Gardner Minshew says, Cougs never lost a party.
Yeah, man. Two-a-days, man. We call them two-a-days. You wake up at 10 in the morning, you get drunk by 2 o'clock, you pass out, you wake up at 3, 4 o'clock, you make a little food, and you start drinking again for the 7:30 kick.
There you go.
We got them like once or twice, and they were epic.
Go Cougs, Mike.
Go Cougs. All right, hey, when we come back.
I'm a hashtag Go Cougs guy because of this one over here.
You have to be, man.
I root for the Cougs.
You have to be.
You should.
I do think it's funny that this week a Beaver is taking over a Cougs starting job in the NFL.
Right.
I do think that's interesting.
That is fun.
Due to injury, but I've also seen great Cougar quarterbacks in the NFL lose their job due to injury, and that's just not how things should go. That's just not how
Gardner.
That should just not be how things should go. All right, we come back around. We will do some Mariner talk. I promise we'll get into that. We will not deviate, but I could not miss a chance to talk a little Wazoo with the Big Johnson
Cannon. Love it.
But first, here's Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
It's 9:33 as we are definitely Hot Corner after dark.
We spent a whole segment on Wazoo.
That was great, man.
We spent a segment on a Griffey story.
That's the most Wazoo talk this station has seen in a year.
And it's sorely needed. Round table, my eye. Nobody cares about the Ducks round table.
No.
It's ridiculous.
No.
We want the Cougar octagon table starring Patrick and me.
Yeah.
Octagon table?
I don't know. Yeah, whatever.
That means you need 6 more people there.
I'll take it.
No, the table is an octagon. That doesn't mean we need 8 people.
Naturally, that does mean you need 8 people. What do you need 8 corners for if you don't have 8 people?
Maybe I want more than one corner.
Maybe I want a badass table, Mike. Leave me alone.
Yeah, come on. Jeez.
Power moves here, dude.
All right.
Power moves. It's like
this kind of attitude is going to get you kicked off the Cougar Roundtable.
Yeah, dude.
I wasn't even invited in the first place.
You are invited.
And it's not the round table, it's the octagon
table.
Well,
you're going to get kicked off the octagon
table. It's going to become the septagon table.
Oh, it might.
We were about to have a meeting where we were just going to offer you a seat at the table.
Should we invite
mostly
Mike?
Mostly out of pity, but we realized that, you know, Syracuse football is pretty trash, so you could come to us, you know,
and relate
and be a Coug.
This attitude.
No, man, because you know you're done at the beginning. Like, we wait until we get to, like, that Colorado game right before the Apple Cup, and it's like, if we beat Colorado, like, we can lose to the Huskies and still win the North, and it's like, nah, but you lose to Colorado. So, like, we get it pulled out late.
It's like snowing.
Yeah.
And Colorado wins, and you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
That is true. Most years, I know at the beginning, Syracuse football doesn't have it.
Yeah. No. We're high hopes every single year.
I miss Eric Dungy.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to win 8 games this year.
R.I.P. Eric.
Wazoo's going to win 8 games this year.
He's not dead. He's actually very young.
Are they even playing 8 games?
Well, yeah. We'll play our 6 in the Pac-12, Pac-12 Championship, and the Rose Bowl.
All right. I mean,
that's how we do it.
Well, you make the college football playoff probably, right?
No.
At 7-0?
It's going to be a long time before they put Wazoo in the college football
playoff. 7-0,
you're
making the college football playoff.
Yeah, you got that.
Wazoo's
right.
Undefeated. BYU's undefeated. Who goes in the college football playoff first?
Washington State.
Wazoo.
No, really?
Yeah.
It's okay. Not even close.
I guess, don't want any part of BYU anymore.
I guess because we do beat Oregon and
yes,
and UW and
USC.
And Cal.
They don't
USC's our South team.
Right. BYU played Navy four times. They don't want that.
Hey, the guys.
Mariners.
The last time
we don't need another Wazoo segment on the Hot Corner After Dark.
I'm gonna end
on the
this,
octagon table.
I'm gonna end this with one last thing. The last time there was a USC coach on the hot seat, he played Wazoo and they lost and got fired.
Take that.
Was that Lane?
That's Lane.
Take
on
that.
The tarmac. A pick six and Lane standing at the 50-yard line with no one around him. Looking like he was going to die.
Go Cougs.
All right, so the Mariners finish up a season that we kind of expected to be, you know, I think a little lackluster. It was kind of about waiting until the end of the season and get all the kids up and kind of see what we're looking at. So we've got John here, so we might as well get into a little bit of that. I'll tell you what, two gold gloves, that's exciting.
Take that.
Kyle Seager coming off the books, that's exciting.
Yep, and he actually played well this year.
Yeah,
I have hopes that he, like, maybe he's back. And there was... Finish with the flurry next year.
There was that really cool moment with him and Corey. Mm-hmm. Both hit home runs in the first game they've ever played against each other. That was really fun.
That was cool.
And I want to start here. Where are your expectations? How tight are your sports pants?
Also, keep going.
When it comes to Kyle Lewis.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
The
rookie of the year finalist.
Let's
just cut through the red tape, Mike. Let's just give it. He's going to win the rookie.
He's going to win it. I would vote for him.
He's won every precursor. He's going to win the rookie of the year. Let's just write it in pen. Kyle Lewis, 2020 rookie of the year.
Mariner rookie of the year?
Ichiro
Suzuki, 2001.
Also won the MVP, right?
Also won the MVP. Yes.
I mean, he was 28, but.
Well, it's the only year he was really good, but.
All right, John.
Let's not get into this Ichiro thing again.
Ichiro.
He only had 9 seasons of 200 hits or more.
200 hits.
200, yeah, yeah. Only whatever. Like Ted Williams has ever done that.
Pete Rose did that.
Who?
Crying out loud with a bowl cut. No.
He did have a bowl cut.
I'm super excited for Kyle Lewis. He has been hyped up as a top prospect for a few years since they drafted. He was DePoto's first draft pick.
Okay.
11th overall. He was widely considered to be the best hitter in the draft. He won the – what's the stupid baseball Heisman that Zunino and those guys won? I can't remember the name of the award.
Oh, for college baseball?
Yeah, it's the
– I don't know. I don't watch college baseball.
It's the Golden Spikes.
It's like the Heisman for college baseball.
Okay. So he won that, and –
Where did you go to school?
Mercer.
Oh, okay.
Which baseball hotbed.
Baseball hotbed, yeah.
Right? And so it has been a long time since the Mariners have had a homegrown prospect that has been hyped, that has lived up to it.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know, his first season, he started out crazy in the minor leagues. And then he had a horrific injury. He got a collision at home plate. He blew his knee out, tore everything. Took him a year and a half to come back from it. And so you figured, great, here we go, right? Here you go. And for him to come all the way back, he came up last year, September, was gangbusters, played really well. And you thought, okay, like maybe this is it. Maybe we have a guy that's finally going to do it. But as a Mariner fan, you're always waiting for other shoe to drop. Then COVID and the whole thing and no spring training. And you come out and here you go. And he just sets the world on fire. He played great on defense. He was great on offense. He hit the ball, hit for power. Couldn't be any happier. He's going to be the rookie of the year. And so I think the Mariners, I think we finally got one. I think we finally got a homegrown kid that's supposed to be good that has turned out to be good. And so when you look at where he fits in the dynamic of the team, he's going to be that everyday center fielder, and he's going to bat, you know, second or third in the lineup for the next 10 years, hopefully, in Seattle. And as they start to put pieces in place around him, it's comforting to think we have our superstar. We have a superstar. I've said all along, Mariners have talent. More is coming. So I'm excited for them. I don't know if next year's the year.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, is next year just almost an extension of 2020?
I think next year is going to be what they wanted this year to be.
Okay.
Which is play, you know, kind of goof, you know, not goof around, but let's see what we got. Let's find some pieces. Let's bring the young kids up. Because last year, other than Kyle Lewis, they didn't get to bring many of the young kids
up. Right.
Because you got Kelenic and you got Rodriguez. Kelenic
stayed down. Julio Rodriguez stayed down. None of the pitchers. They have three young pitchers they think are going to be great. Logan Gilbert's the big name.
Not Justice Sheffield.
Right. Well, and Justice Sheffield wasn't awful this year.
No, he wasn't awful.
He wasn't awful.
He's an easy target for Mike and I to bang on because he went through both our systems.
Right? I'm right there with you, but he wasn't awful this year. I still think he ends up in the bullpen, and I think he'll be good in the bullpen.
Well, and if you think about it, you might win that trade, right? Justice Sheffield's James Paxton.
Well, and if Paxton's a free agent.
Isn't that part of that trade? And Paxton was not good in New York.
You know, and if Paxton leaves and the Yankees don't have anything, then we do win that.
And you do win that.
Yep.
We do win that trade. And so
I just feel a little bit like the Pineda-Montero trade where both teams kind of were like, well,
right.
We neither of us really did great. But,
you know.
I just don't believe in Sheffield. Personally.
Well, and I'm right there with you. Although, again, this year he was okay. He was pretty good. And so I'll take that. If he can pitch like that, I'll take that. I don't think he's ever going to be an ace, but you could do a lot worse as a 4 or a 5 or a guy coming out of the pen. But going forward, I think this next year is you're going to see what the Mariners wanted 2020 to be. I think you're going to see the young guys. I think you're going to see the young pitchers come up. I think Kelenic comes up. They'll probably super to him, so we won't see him till, you know, May.
Yeah, they'll do the Chris Bryant thing.
Right, they'll do that thing. But I think he comes up to stay. I think we probably see Julio Rodriguez at some point. So we have some other young guy. We have a young catcher they're really high on, Cal Raleigh. I think you're going to see that.
That's a great baseball name.
It is a great baseball
name. Cal Raleigh.
Especially
as a catcher.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see this is going to be the year to let those young guys play together. And then when 2022 hits, I think the Mariners are going to – that's when they're going to be like, okay.
Let's spend a little money.
Here we go. Now, DePoto has said, and Mike and I were talking about this, I think the offseason presents a chance for the Mariners to make a splash now. And it might be a year early, but the market is down. And there's going to be a lot of talent out there, and teams don't want to spend money because everybody just went through a season where they lost a bunch of money.
Right, but the Mariners spent no money this
Mariners
year.
have no payroll. Seager's off the books. D. Gordon is finally off the books. He's gone. So they have no payroll. So if you
can
take...
Until they lock up Marco.
They already did. And he's a young... That's a friendly deal.
Okay, good, good.
So if they can... If their ownership is willing to spend some money this year on the right guy or the right couple of guys, and you get him a year early, almost like the Padres did with Machado.
Mm-hmm.
The year they signed Machado, they weren't ready to be the Padres.
But they knew in 2 years
they would.
But
they knew they would be, and he's still there. So if you can get somebody like that, or
MVP finalist Manny Machado.
Get some bullpen arms, or start doing that. And DePoto has said he wants to spend some money on the bullpen this year. So maybe this year they are more competitive than we think. But I'm as a fan, I'm still looking to 2022.
Do you view this as a potential, assuming they don't do the bad decision of expanding the playoffs permanently, that this would be a potential wild card contending team?
I think the opportunity...
Or is it like just on the outside edge?
I think the opportunity's there. I mean, even in this weird season, I mean, the Mariners at one point were a game out with 10 to play, you know? So, I mean, okay. I mean, do I think this is a team that can win the World Series? No. Could they mess around and contend for a wild card? Absolutely. You never know.
I'm thinking of the Lloyd McClendon 80 win season or what was that?
Yeah.
And it was like they were like 4 games out of the wild card, but they were close.
Right.
I'm kind of envisioning that.
I could see them. You know, Houston, I think, is taking a step back. They're going to lose. I think they're going to lose Springer.
Texas is bad.
Texas is horrid. The A's
Anaheim
are the
A's. Anaheim is also bad.
A's are the A's. Anaheim. So
A's are going to be A's.
You know, the Mariners, they're, like I said, there is talent. More's coming. I don't know. I if you told me that we're sitting here in August, if assuming we get to play a full season, if you told me that we're here in August and the Mariners are within shouting distance of a wild card, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. Well, I still think they're a year away from realistically going for that, but I wouldn't be shocked.
I got one question I'll ask you when we come back around. I want to know for those of you still out there, and we'll finish up with this. Not necessarily players, but what are the positions, what are the pieces that could really help these young kids? And we'll do that next. We'll finish up with Big John in the house, the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Just a big shout out to John Sukanik for joining us, as you so graciously do.
Oh, I appreciate the invitation, fellas. I appreciate the invitation.
We're probably only, 200 days away from having you back, so that's not too bad.
Oh, it's way less than that.
Yeah.
We usually don't have until we get closer to the season.
When is baseball back? 100 days now?
We're probably near 100.
Well, pitchers and catchers, yeah.
Report.
But, I mean, we usually bring John on, the week before opening day?
Yeah, but you realize the pitchers and catchers in spring training is only, a month and a half.
No.
So 100 extra days?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Days.
It'll be here before we know it.
That is true.
Thankfully.
Only 100 some sleeps left.
And I'm going to get to watch a – say that again, Joe. 148 days till opening day. Thank you, sir. And I'm going to get a second season of no Justin Verlander. Quite excited about
I'm hoping.
Is he out all of next year?
When you take the ligaments to fix the elbow, it takes a while.
He might come back in August.
Yeah, they might be trash.
I'd be okay with that.
I'd be okay with that, too.
Me too.
So, John, I wanted to finish up our little Mariner discussion with this. I mean, I've got the top 25 free agents from MLB.com sitting here in front of me. So it's not necessarily the people. I'm more curious the positions. What are the spots when and if the Mariners do decide to spend some money? Obviously, you mentioned DePoto wanting to put a little money in the bullpen. I think everybody knows that that's an extremely important thing right now.
The Mariners had the worst bullpen in baseball last year, and I'm not just saying that facetiously. It was the worst.
It was really trash.
They were the only team with a negative WAR out of the bullpen. The Red Sox were close.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, statistically, it was a horrid bullpen.
So my question is are we looking at second base, third base, left field, right field, shortstop, what do you think? You said there's a catcher coming up. Evan White at first is a Gold Glove first baseman.
Here's what I would do. If I'm pulling the strings in Seattle, here's what I would do. I think we got that catcher from – we have a catcher coming up. I don't know if he's ready next year, but we got that guy from the Padres who's decent. So I think you can live with him. Evan White, you're set at first. Seager, you got for one more year. He had a resurgence this year. I'm fine with him for one more year. Shortstop, Crawford just won a Gold Glove. Second base is a huge hole. They tried to give it to Shed Long. He's not ready, and he's not probably an everyday second baseman in the major leagues, and he got hurt. So second base is a huge position, and we talked about – I've made two Colton Wong references. I would love if they went and got somebody like that. Gold Glove winner, can hit a little bit, good clubhouse guy. I would love if they went and spent some money. I think they could go, and if you got him for a 3 or 4 year deal in a market where teams aren't going to spend 3 or 4 year deal, I would love something like that. So I think they need a second baseman. I think that's a glaring weakness. I don't think they need an outfielder. I think we're set outfield. We have the rookie of the year in center. I think Kelnick will be your right fielder every day. I think we have enough players to put out there until Julio's ready. We got that Trammell guy from the Padres. He will factor in the mix. So I wouldn't go looking for an outfielder. I would go looking for a second baseman. And here's the big move. And I'll tell you what I would do. You need a bona fide number one.
True.
You have young pitching. Marco was really good, but he's not an ace. And you have decent young pitching, and you have more coming. They have three names down in AAA that they really like. But we need that bona fide number one. If I'm DePoto this year, I go to Trevor Bauer and I write him a blank check. And I say, you come to Seattle, I'll pay you what we don't owe money to anybody, whatever it takes. You want $30 million for 10? Here's $30 million for 10. And you go get Trevor Bauer. And now you anchor him. He's your ace. And you go Bauer, Marco, and then any number of these young guys until the young kids are ready. And I'm not even saying this year. I'm saying next year when we have a bullpen. Come on.
The only thing I would say about
Bauer. I would love a move like that.
Bauer sounds like he'd fit perfectly.
I would love a move
like that. He's such a weirdo.
I just know that Bauer's whole thing has been one-year deals.
Sure.
But he said for a contender, he would sign a long-term deal.
And here's the thing.
You might be able to get him for a one-year deal and see if he likes it. Would you be willing to risk that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because, again, all you hear out of Seattle right now is it's a young team. They're fun. Their chemistry's good. They like each other. Everything's good. So Bauer does seem like he'd fit up there. He's kind of kooky. He's a little goofy.
Yeah. He's a West Coast guy. He's from California.
Right? So I would absolutely kick the tires on him. And if you go to him and you say, look, we're the next Padres. Like, that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And here, I mean, we have three of the top 20 baseball 100 prospects. We have seven in the top 100. Farm system's good. Young talent. I think you could sell Bauer. Now, I don't know if he does it, but if you lose out on Bauer, somebody like that, if you could go find an ace,
well,
I would go get an ace or a top of the flight rotation guy, and I would go find a second baseman, and then I'd spend money on a bullpen, and I'd roll those guys out with the young kids and see what happens.
The good news on this Colton Wong thing, just real quick, is the Cardinals declined 12.5 mil option.
Yeah, he's a free agent. Yeah.
So, but I mean, 12.5, that's going to drop his price to 10.
Yep. And you telling me I'll go 3 for $35 with a 4-year option?
Sure.
He doesn't jump on that?
Right. He definitely jumps on that.
So I think he does.
The site
Golden
I've been
Glove,
using...
you go an entire infield of Gold Glove winners. The Seager won one.
Yeah, this is true.
All four of your infield would have Gold Gloves.
The site I've been using to look for free agents is MLB Trade Rumors. They have a huge list.
Yeah, I love that spot.
Here are the Mariner mentions in their prediction article.
I'm guessing they're poor.
Their first prediction is... These are just teams that would be involved in these players.
Sure.
The Korean guy, Ha-Sung Kim.
Oh, yeah.
Second base.
Yeah, most likely going to be posted here real soon.
Liam Hendricks.
I'd love that.
You've got Nelson Cruz.
I would love
return.
That.
The boomstick.
I don't think they will do that.
You've got...
I would love that. I love Nelly Cruz.
Let's see. This is all about Paxton, Walker... I just searched their name.
Well, and I would go sign Walker back.
Why not? He's a cheap.
Trevor May and Blake Treinen for relievers.
I would love that too.
Dude, Blake Treinen, that's my guy.
I would love that. They said
the prediction is J. Happ, Mariners 1 year.
We had him already. I hate the comeback guy. What, we had him, it didn't work.
Kirby Yates.
Okay. I could do that.
I think Greg Holland.
I think the Mariners.
Greg Holland is done. Greg Holland is done.
Those are the guys mentioned with the Mariners.
I think the Mariners will go spend money on two or three relievers this year. I do.
Kirby Yates would be nice. I mean, yeah, big surgery, but yeah.
I think they will spend money on a couple of pitchers in the bullpen. Bauer's a pipe dream. Starting pitchers a pipe dream. Probably
pipe dreams, man.
But I would love them to go get a second baseman. We don't have one coming up.
The Indians will trade you Shane Bieber for Kyle Lewis straight up.
Oh, my gosh.
We need an outfielder like it's no one's business.
It's the three of us
in the outfield in Cleveland.
In all seriousness, like, we have young outfielders. Like, I don't want them to trade Kyle Lewis. That would be ridiculous, but...
Shane Bieber.
We have a lot of young outfielders. Yeah. And if you believe that this Trammell guy they got from the Padres is legit, somebody's going to be the odd man out. Oh, hopefully it's not Julio. I just invested in some Julio Rodriguez memorabilia. Hey, I made a opening night. I'm on the radio with my stupid brother. Kyle Lewis hits a home run in the first game. And I went on eBay right then and bought an autographed baseball. And my brother made fun of me. That thing has quadrupled in price.
Take that, Big Soup.
Yeah, Big Soup.
Even though you're never going to sell it. But hey, quadrupled in price.
It's nice to know.
It's nice to know.
Quadrupled in price.
All right, I think it's safe to say the baseball season is officially in the books for 2020.
Over. It's over.
We will continue to follow baseball throughout the offseason as things come up, and we'll do that a little bit. But we'll dance a little bit around. We'll talk a little NFL, a little college football. I'm excited for basketball this season as well. So we'll be all over the place. We'll be back next week again from 8 to 10 as long as the Oregon Ducks are still playing football. For Mike Lynch, Joe Fish behind the glass, and our wonderful friend John Sukanik, go do something I would do.